end. If you have your Bibles with you, can we turn just to Psalm 139, just for a few verses. Psalm 139, we'll start off verse 14. It says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continued were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! Well, I thank God that I do have a testimony to give to the saving and keeping power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I grew up outside the village of Points Pass into a family of 8 children, 6 girls and 2 boys. Well, 2 boys were enough. Our home was a very happy home, and we had 2 very loving parents who worked hard to provide for us. One of the things that they did teach us was to have a great respect for the Lord's Day. Sundays were very much kept as a day of rest, and with neither the radio or the television, whenever it came into the home, neither was allowed to be switched on, only to listen to a church service or to the hymn singing. So Saturdays were always the busy day in our home. You can guess with a large family, there was a lot to do. So as we got older, Mum gave us all chores to do. At least the older members of the family were given them, the younger ones seemed to get off. I loved being outside, but that came to an end when I was made to go indoors and take over the ironing from our Pam. She told me later she hated it. Well, I didn't like it any better. She was only too glad to pass it on. So while someone baked and someone polished, someone else doing the floors, and the shoes were even cleaned on a Saturday night in preparation for Sunday, Mummy made sure that the words "I'm bored" never were part of our vocabulary. So each Sunday we were sent then to walk the 2 miles to Points Pass Presbyterian Church to attend Sunday school and church service. And then on a Sunday afternoon we went to children's meeting in May McCullen Orange Hall. Mr. Ted Atchison would go around the countryside collecting the children in his minibus and bringing them to the meetings. With the help of his wife and another wee lady, Annie Whiteside, they faithfully taught us from the Word of God the way of salvation. It was there that I first heard that I needed to be saved. Although I didn't really understand the full meaning of being saved, I understood that when you were saved, you prayed and read your Bible. And like most children, we were taught to say our prayers at each night. And for a while, I can remember, along with one of my sisters, starting to read the Bible. But I do believe the seeds of the gospel were very much sown in my heart at those meetings. When I was 13, then a gospel mission came to the village of Acton. It was conducted by 2 faith mission pilgrims, Mr. Billy Park and Mr. Monty Moynan. A week or two into that mission, my 2 older sisters got saved, and then Mum, who had professed faith in Christ when she was 14, she came back to the Lord. And this certainly did have an influence on me. Each Friday night at the children's meeting, it was held just before the gospel service. We would have went there, and along with my younger siblings, we were taken there by another neighbour, Reg Clark. And the Lord began to speak to me at those meetings about the need to be saved. I understood that I was a sinner, and I needed to ask Jesus Christ into my heart to forgive me of my sins if I wanted to go to heaven. On Friday the 19th of January 1968, I went along to those children's meetings with a desire to be saved. So after the invitation was given, I waited behind and was led to the Lord by Mr. Park. I do remember leaving that hall with a joy in my heart, knowing without a doubt that I was saved, and then going home and telling Mum that I had got saved at the meeting. That was a great mission, in which most of our family professed faith in Christ, and my dad, he trusted Christ in the last week of the mission. Following that mission, those 2 Christian men that I mentioned, Reggie Clark and Ted Atchison, sought faithfully to ensure that we weren't forgotten spiritually. We were taken along to the weekly prayer meetings in Acton Orange Hall, as well as to gospel missions in the area. And all this continued to build us up spiritually as young Christians. A year or so after I was saved, I remember attending the Free Methodist Church in Portadown with Reggie and Mrs. Clark. And around that time also, Dr. Paisley was conducting gospel missions in and around the area, and we attended those missions too. It was through those missions that we started to attend the Sunday services at Tenderkie Free Presbyterian Church. And for a while, Mum and Dad, after they were saved, they continued to attend the Presbyterian Church, but Mummy really wasn't happy with it, as the gospel wasn't being preached there, and she wanted more for her family. Eventually, she made the decision to leave and go to worship regularly in Tenderkie Free Presbyterian, where the gospel was faithfully preached. In the early days following the mission in which I was saved, a young people's fellowship was commenced in Acton Orange Hall and was led by Tom Mason. Tom would have had us away regularly singing and testifying at a lot of the gospel missions held by the Faith Mission. I was only in my early teens, and to stand up in a mission to testify at that age was quite a daunting experience, and it's got no better. But those times were of a great blessing to us. The youth fellowship together with the weekly prayer meetings were very, very important to me, and that gave me a great spiritual foundation in how to live for the Lord and what was expected of someone professing faith in Christ. And if you are a young Christian, I would encourage you to go along to the prayer meeting and the youth fellowship if you want to grow in grace and learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ and how to live for him. These meetings, especially the prayer meetings, are important to you in your Christian walk with God. The Lord led me into nursing, and I trained at Craigavon Hospital before going on to the Royal Maternity for midwifery training. Then I returned to Craigavon, where I was employed as a midwife in the neonatal unit. And I do thank God for those early Christian influences in my life, which kept me on the right path during my training. And I also thank God for the Christian friends that he gave me. During that time, living away from home isn't easy, and you are faced with many great temptations, but having good Christian friends can be a great help and encouragement to you. In 1978, I met Davy. We were married 2 years later in 1980, and I came to live in the Armagh area. My dad certainly was enjoying seeing the number of boys increasing. This increased from 2 to 6 over the next few years as the girls got married. But we all still headed down home either on a Sunday afternoon or a Sunday night, so there was a lot of noise when everyone was there. Generally, Dad and the boys would have headed off down the road, probably to get their heads showered. But those were happy times which we enjoyed as a family. But that changed, and as things do change, in September 83, the political troubles came to our own doorstep. Well, some of you may remember it's 24th of September 1983 as the day of the Mays prison breakout. For our family, especially Mum, it was no doubt one of the worst days that we went through. It was the day that the accomplices of that terrible deed kidnapped Daddy. They terrorized him for several hours before dumping him in South Armagh. This evil act did take its toll on Dad's health, and as a result of it, he died 8 months later. And he went to be with the Lord in May 84. I suppose we all struggled to understand why God had allowed this to happen to Dad, even to allow him to die, even after all he had been through, Mum most of all. But through it all, we saw God strengthen Mum's faith as she learned to trust in him to meet her needs. So much so that over the years, when we would have gone to her with a problem, she would have said to us, "Why don't you do what I do and pray?" My answer, I remember then, would have been, "But Mum, I do pray, but there was a difference. Mum had learnt the true meaning of how to pray with confidence and that God would meet her need. Just 3 months after Dad died, God blessed Dave and me with our first child, a baby girl whom we called Helen. Helen certainly was a distraction for us from our grief, and over the next few years, God blessed us with 2 more children, Linda and David. When Helen became Sunday school age, we began to attend this church under the ministry of Dr. Cook. And before each child was born, we prayed that God would save them at an early age, and God did save them. He answered our prayer, and he saved them. And he gave us the joy of leading each one of them to himself when they were young. It's also been a great blessing to us to see them going on with the Lord. The 3 of them are now married, with Helen and Alan. As you can see, the grandchildren there, Helen and Alan, Linda and Timothy, have given us 2 grandchildren each. While God willing, David and Leah will give us our 5th grandchild in February. And our prayer for all our grandchildren is that God would save them at a very early age. In 1992, Mr. Jim Irwin, sitting down there, he was a Sunday school superintendent at the time, he asked me if I would teach Sunday school. As I worked permanently on night duty, my first thought was that I wouldn't be able to do it because I worked a lot of Saturday nights. I did pray about it and I felt that this was what God wanted me to do. So having made the decision, I was determined that as far as possible my night duty wouldn't interfere with my Sunday school. And God has it undertaken for me and has enabled me really to teach Sunday school each week without night duty interfering too much with it. Albeit as I've got older, it's not as easy going to Sunday school after night duty. So I've had to take a strong boost of caffeine before I leave home. I did warn Mr. McMillan some time ago that if he sees my head dropping occasionally, not to worry, it wasn't his sermon, it was just the caffeine levels wearing off, as Jessica knows about that. I can honestly say that it's been such a privilege and a blessing to my soul to prepare the lessons and to teach Sunday school each Sunday. My prayer for each child is that each Sunday they never leave my class without an understanding of their need to be saved. And for those that are saved, that I can encourage them to go follow the Lord. I said earlier that God blessed me with three children. Well, God also blessed me with another little girl called Hannah. In 1995, I became pregnant again. And for some reason, I always seemed to have negative thoughts about this pregnancy. Despite a seemingly healthy pregnancy, I kept feeling that there was a problem with the baby and that my pregnancy was never going to go to full term. These negative thoughts consumed me for nearly all of that pregnancy, until one night I prayed to God. And I prayed a very strange prayer. I said, "Lord, if there is anything wrong with my baby, you take it. Otherwise, Lord, lead me to a healthy, normal delivery." I was 38 weeks pregnant at this time. Do you know, for the first time in that whole pregnancy, I felt a great peace in my heart. The sense of relief I experienced as I got off my knees was unbelievable. I had handed my fears to the Lord, and that negative feeling that I had been experiencing just disappeared. That was on a Sunday night. On the Wednesday night, I went to bed, and as I lay there, I just closed my eyes, and I started to what I can only describe as dream. I dreamt that I was in hospital giving birth, and that my baby was stillborn. The dream, which had begun with my delivery, continued with all the planning of what I would do if it did happen, how I would tell the children, and finally seeking advice from the mortician of the hospital about what Davy would need to know regarding the burial. It was a very strange dream, but it was actually all very real. It felt so real. And I was very much aware during that dream of the tears flowing down my cheeks. And at one stage I can remember dry my eyes because I heard Davy coming down the hall and I didn't want to have to explain to him why I was in tears. The following morning, after getting the three children to school, I said to Davy, "I think I'll go up to the GP and get a checkup." I couldn't tell him about the dream. When the GP had examined me, he said he was referring me to Craigavon Hospital, as he said his monitor wasn't working. I knew he was worried and that the monitor was only an excuse. So before I went to the hospital, I called in home to arrange for Davy to do the school run should I not be back in time. I told him that Dr. Richard wanted me to go to Craigavon for a checkup. He was concerned that I had to go to the hospital. At the hospital, the registrar examined me and I knew by her expression that she also was concerned about the baby even before she called in the consultant. I also knew by Mr. Heasley's expression that there was definitely a problem. He then confirmed what I was now suspecting. He just said he was sorry, but he couldn't hear a heartbeat. My dream now had become a reality. And I really believe God had prepared me the night before in that dream for what had just happened, because I was able, with a calmness that only God could give, just to follow out the plans that I had seen in my dream. One of the plans was to ask the midwife with me not to inform the neonatal unit staff where I worked. I didn't want anybody phoning me at home because Helen was in between her 11 plus exams, and I certainly didn't want Helen to overhear any conversation which could distress her. I was given the choice whether to stay for delivery or go home, but I wanted to get home, and staying in wasn't part of the plans in my dream. All I could think of was my need to get home to tell Davy. I felt I could wait and deliver after the exam. I had already shed a lot of tears the night before, so I felt I was able to go home and to control my own grief until Helen's exam was over. That was how I had planned it. The following day, God had different plans. I went into labour and Hannah was delivered on Friday the 17th of November. We had left the children with Mum en route to the hospital, so as far as they were concerned, I was only going for a check-up. Do you know, our all-knowing and compassionate God had gone ahead of me. From the minute I went into the delivery suite till up later to go to the postnatal ward, God had placed Christian midwives in each ward to attend to me or give me that word of encouragement. The following night after Hannah was delivered, as I lay in tears in the hospital bed, I asked the Lord for something, just to help me see a reason for what had just happened. I really just wanted answers as to why I had carried the baby and lost her, and I believed God had the answer. I do not normally believe in opening the Bible at random, but as I opened my Bible, it opened at Psalm 139, that Psalm which we read. There God spoke to me in a powerful way of how he knew all about Hannah before she was born. Everything in that psalm seemed so real to me and to my situation. And as I read down that psalm, there was an absolute stillness in that room. And I felt such a sense of God's presence there, something I had never witnessed before. I can't fully describe it, nor can I put it into words. But I sensed God was in that room, just him and me. I felt so humbled at such a sense of the presence of God in that room, I cried. Not with grief, but with a humble heart that God had seen fit to visit me in my grief. There's nothing special about me at all, nothing at all. All I am is just a sinner saved by God's grace. But God is gracious and full of compassion. And he heard the cry of my heart and he attended to the voice of my prayer and came to comfort me. I felt there and then that I didn't need to look for a reason for what had happened to me. You might well ask, were you not angry with God because your baby had died? I can honestly say, no, I was not. I couldn't be angry with God because as I look back, I believe he had been preparing me throughout my pregnancy for Hannah's arrival. Most of all, I could not be angry with God who in his tender mercy came to me that night in hospital and spoke to me through Psalm 139. That is an experience I will never forget. I did wait until Helen had her 11 plus over before I told the children about Hannah. Again, God gave me the grace and the help needed to tell them. I used the story of Joseph's dreams and applied that to my situation as a means of telling them about Hannah. One thing I learned after I came home from hospital was when Satan attacks you, he will do it when you're at your weakest and most vulnerable. He also will attack maybe after a blessing from him, from the Lord. And Satan did attack me. I well remember falling on my knees, crying to the Lord for help. I was already emotionally vulnerable from the grief of losing the baby in a way that mothers in my situation do feel. But other stressful situations were coming at me that I just felt I couldn't cope anymore. I just had to fall on my knees again and cry to the Lord for help. And again, surrender my worries and my stresses to the Lord. As the words of David in Psalm 18 verse 6 says, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple and my cry came before him, even into his ears. When I rose from my knees, it was with a sense of relief and a renewed confidence in God that once again he had heard me. I often say God was my psychiatrist at that time as he encouraged me through his word. The Psalms became so precious to me in those days and have remained so. I hungered daily for that word of comfort and help from the Lord that was found in them. One verse that became very precious to Davy and me was preached on by Dr. Paisley at the anniversary service a few weeks after we lost Hannah. It's found in John 13 verse 7. Jesus answered and said unto them, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. It is an assurance from God that he is in control of what happens in our lives. And he will show us in his own time, whether it's in this life or in the life to come, the reason why he allows things to happen to us. I thank God that through it all, I did learn a deeper meaning to the word trust. You know, it's so easy to trust the Lord when all is going well, but it's not an easy lesson to learn when you're down in that deep, dark valley. I learned to pray with a deeper conviction and a confidence, knowing that God's ears are ever open to our cries. I learned to trust Him with the simple things as well as the bigger things that concerned me. I now could understand what Mum had meant when she was guiding us to go and talk to the Lord in prayer. Probably our greatest legacy to us when God called her home in 2007 was her faith and the trust she had in the Lord to meet her needs and that of her family. Friends, I do thank God for the blessed experience of Hannah's short life as I knew it. God has taught me many valuable lessons about Himself in it. It has also helped me at work to emphasize with parents who have also lost their wee babies. One of the midwives looking after me read these two verses to me when I was in the hospital. I find in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." God can use our experiences through trials to comfort others going through similar situations, but He can use you to be a witness also for Him. I thank God for the confidence He has given me in knowing that when I place my family and all my cares in His hands, I can do it with the full assurance that He is in control, and that in His time and in His own way, He will answer the prayers and cries of my heart. For the many ways in which God has blessed me and answered prayer, and for what He continues to do for me, I never will cease to praise Him. It has made me fully appreciate what a friend I have in Jesus. Christian, do you realize and appreciate just how great a God we worship? We have a great God who loves us so much that He sent His Son to die for our sins, and He has redeemed us with His own precious blood. He is not going to forget us when we are going through the hard times. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, He promises that He will never will leave us nor forsake us. Also in Isaiah 43, verse 2, He says, "When they pass us through the waters, I will be with thee." I trust that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that tonight you will put your faith and trust in this great God we worship. You've sung the carols, you've listened to Bible readings about the birth of the Savior over this Christmas season. To have you any room in your heart for Him tonight? Who is your anchor in the storms of life? Because I can truly say He is not a disappointment. Jesus is far more to me than all my glowing daydreams I had fancied He could be. And the more I get to know Him, so the more I find Him true. And the more that I long that others should be led to know Him too. I'm going to finish with a wee poem that I hope it's been a blessing to me, and I hope it will be a blessing to you in 2016. I do not know what next may come across my pilgrim way. I do not know tomorrow's road nor see beyond today. But this I do know, my Saviour knows the path I cannot see, and I can trust His wounded hand to guide and care for me. I do not know what may befall of sunshine or of rain. I do not know what may be mine of pleasure and of pain. But this I know, my Saviour knows, and whatsoe'er it be, still I can trust His love to give what will be best for me. I do not know what may await or what the morrow brings, but with the glad salute of faith I'll hail its opening wings. For this I know, that in my Lord shall all my needs be met, and I can trust the heart of Him who has not failed me yet. Thank you.